versus Ronell versus Taylor.
Stangeman, good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court, Mayor Stangeman, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state of Nevada. Jabelle Taylor is currently serving 50 to 53 years in prison for his conviction for first-degree murder and misdemeanor for the deadly weapon felony. Following his juvenile re-sentencing, he filed a timely motion for post-conviction relief, which was denied by the district court without an evidentiary hearing. And that is the order before the court today. As set forth in our brief, the district court properly denied the post-conviction motion without an evidentiary hearing. There are three claims of ineffective assistance of counsel that are at issue today, and I'll start with the claim that trial counsel is ineffective for failing to object to the state's closing argument. This claim is affirmatively refuted by the record because the prosecutor's statements do not constitute misconduct. I set forth in my brief each statement that Taylor claims warranted an objection. There were three statements made during the initial arguments and three statements made during rebuttal. I intend to go into the details of each of those statements here today, but I do believe when this court looks at those statements, it is clear that nothing improper was said by the prosecutor. The prosecutor was making reasonably drawn inferences from the evidence or highlighting the believability of a witness based on the evidence. There was no personal feelings by the prosecutor in any of those statements.
Were there comments about police violence?
Yes.
Yes.
What's your perception on that?
I think the comments on truthfulness were immediately followed by the evidence showed the corroboration of the evidence. I think this is no different than the Gonzalez case, where the prosecutor commented on the fact that a witness was lying, and of course that was not improper. I think this court allows prosecutors to comment on the credibility of the witness as long as it does not go beyond in the context of commenting on the evidence.
That is not.
The other statement the other day, Doug, were asking the jury to use its common sense, which I think is not misconduct, given the fact that that's in the definition of reasonable doubt. The jury is told to use its common sense. And then finally, there were some statements where he was saying the prosecutor would be able to evidence not directed to the jury, but it was just very guilty because the prosecutor was using his reasonable defenses to present against the jury to the jury. Regarding the other two ineffective counsel claims, counsel's failure to preserve the suppression issue for appeal, Taylor cannot show either deficient performance or prejudice. Essentially, defense counsel got everything he wanted out of the suppression motion. The district court suppressed Taylor's statements along with the DNA sample he provided to the police. And there was simply no reason for counsel to preserve the suppression issue for appeal because there was essentially nothing left to suppress. And finally, as the trial counsel's failure to object to the general location of the gun, Taylor cannot show a reasonable probability that he would have been acquitted but for counsel's failure to object. This court provided a detailed analysis on direct appeal of the substantial amount of other evidence that established his guilt, and thus the district court was correct in denying the claim of evidentiary hearing.
When you stated that proposition reasonable probability that he would
acquitted
of being corrected, right. So backing up theory there is inconsistent improperly argued.
Even if counsel had had
the case.
Yes, I think we're going on here with the prejudice prong. So there was not an evidentiary hearing, so obviously we do not know counsel's strategy for not objecting to that. So we are going to prejudice. We wanted to show prejudice, so we have to show he would have been acquitted if counsel would have objected on the virtual terms of this general location.
Is the essence of the claim at this point that the objection with respect to locating the landmark
testimony
came in with respect to the location of the 9 throughout that testimony and testimony there came in?
Yes. Yes, and on direct appeal in addressing harmless error, this court noted that the evidence was cumulative because there had been testimony regarding the general allegation that was not in this circumstance.
That's already in, so it doesn't matter what the question is going to be fishing, not to object.
Once again, he has to show both deficient performance and prejudice. So we are going straight to the prejudice prong because, despite all the testimony regarding the gun, there was a substantial amount of other evidence that is the reason that the jury acquitted him, and he cannot show because of that evidence that he would have been acquitted. Yes. So we agree with the district, and that is how this
more conversation of how important the whole trial is the location.
I don't think it's very important. I think the eyewitness testimony, one of the witnesses identified him at trial as the first one who was physically in the scene. The eyewitnesses shooting itself identified the shirt that he discarded as police were chasing him as the shirt that the shooter was wearing. I believe there were some fingerprints in the car. There were some other evidence just making it clear that he was there and that, like I said, the person who had seen the shooting identified him.
And you're not addressing that.
The gun was found. The brown shirt was not found. He was holding the brown shirt. He discarded the brown shirt. The witness who saw the shooting said that's the brown shirt that the shooter was wearing. And then other witnesses testified that I saw this defendant running at the time of the shooting. The other thing about the gun is that the gun was found 2 months later, 2 months after the shooting. So I don't know that he could have shown that that evidence was crucial to the jury's verdict because it was found so far after
the
fire.
The location.
The location.
Right.
Yes.
How important is the gun?
I don't remember, to tell you the truth, what they learned from the gun. Once again, I think the majority of the state's case was the witnesses who saw him at the time of the shooting, saw him running from the shooting, came away from police, and that's the extended information. Unless this court has any additional questions, we ask you to affirm the judgment of the district court.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
That concludes arguments for today. The court is adjourned and you are excused.